Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. Today we are talking about cannabis COVID triage, and we are joined by the CEO of 3C Consulting, Nick Easley. Nick, thank you for being here with us today.
Absolute pleasure. Calling from Wisconsin here where I normally wouldn't be, but based on these current times, based on where we were submitting license applications, found myself running up to my childhood home and taking over my childhood house with my parents retired down in Florida, and happy to join you here today from the lake.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about what life is like in Wisconsin right now.
Well, pretty quiet. You got lots of, I'm looking at some geese and some bufflehead right now. There's probably some walleye and smallmouth bass out there. Very different than the typical lifestyle I would lead. I think similar to Bob, over the last 2 years, I've pretty much been on the road almost every day in different countries, different cities, with our main offices in Denver and California. Normally I'm, in Portugal or in Colombia or doing license work in Massachusetts. And all of a sudden it's not flying to London for investor meetings. It's, do I need to change my pajama pants today? So things have definitely changed. International life for myself and what I see with our clients or investment companies is, everything has absolutely changed with offices closed, but now dealing with triage for clients that have dispensaries or new delivery licenses, or how some of our cultivation clients and partners are quarantining certain workers at the facility, brought them beds so they don't have to leave for 30 days and can just stay and work and manage the supply chain there. It's been rapid and abrupt changes to every way of life for normal Americans and for people in the world. But it's the cannabis sector. We work internationally as well as domestically. And domestically, some of the data that we're seeing, it looks indicative, like, wow, sales are up, things are great. But now with these changing times and potentially consumer spending habits, or what type sorts of consumer packaged goods they're looked at, knowing like this is a lung endemic and pandemic. But, New York almost banned the sale of tobacco practically based on some of the concerns. So we're in a rapid response mode right now with certain license applications and critical business development and efficiency for many operational companies.
Well, Nick, you bring up so many good points. One that comes to mind kind of off the bat, as you mentioned, we're seeing a rise in sales, or at least we have seen a rise in sales so far. And this has led some to speculate that perhaps the industry is recession-proof. Do you feel that way, or do you think that this was kind of an initial bump and now we're going to start to see that falter?
Well, I don't think that is correct. I don't think the industry is recession-proof. I know for a fact that we are depression-proof. If you look at the definition of recession, it's like a six-month kind of downturn. This coronavirus and the impacts are going to create more than an economic recession. But with cannabis being, very medicinal product for like medical markets, but also an adult use, considered like vice type product. Any time that we've looked at historical downtrends, even back in the 1800s, or the times with the 1918 kind of Spanish flu, certain things definitely go up. So there's a lot more anxiety, a lot more depression, a lot more recreational time. They call this adult use recreational marijuana. It can definitely help people with a lot of the cabin fever and things that people are going through. So I thought those first sales that we saw, it was almost the uncertainty. Our store is going to be open. Is this going to be a lockdown? Is this going to be enforced? Never did I think that we would have over 20 states and having their governors declare that, cannabis is an essential business, which is an amazing milestone that we've never seen in the industry. But Bob, you could probably imagine in Colorado, for well over a decade, we were pushing for the need for delivery for homebound medical patients and the need to be able to do that, or the additional adult use sales, the store-to-your-door mentality of how that would increase revenue and tax base. But then now, how in like, 3 days? It's like you're good to go in certain municipalities. I know Denver hasn't come forward with that yet from some of their kind of impact studies, but some like Boulder and some of these other municipalities have, and we've seen major upticks. So from a decade of fighting for something to having a new event occur and a rapid response to that to increase and allow these revenues to still happen, it's just been monumental for the industry.
We moved from gateway drug to essential business in a short period of time, and your points are very well taken, particularly on the depression-proof or recession-proof scenario. But let's talk about that for a minute, because I hear everybody saying, oh, this business, this industry is indeed recession-proof, and your distinction there is well noted. But is it really? Is it really recession or depression-proof in the sense that it's a brand new industry from a commercial regulated perspective? It doesn't even have its feet under it yet. So as a concept, yes, you've got consumers that will demand these products and require these products that you just pointed out. But at the same time, does that make it something that is that is capable of withstanding a significant economic downturn when it's just brand new? The foundation hasn't even been built yet, or even agreed upon what the foundation is going to look like from a commercial and regulatory perspective. And it means something different in every single state and every single country. The cannabis industry does as a whole. And then you've got a lack of regulations. Is it really built to withstand that aside from theoretically?
Great point. I would say how we define the industry would be important. So this plant as a consumer good, that's definitely depression proof. The demand for it, we're greatly going to see the illicit market uptick for many people looking for side hustle from like caregiver type work back in the day. But the industry itself and many of the businesses we know are not depression proof nor recession proof. I mean, you look at some of the public companies that had just a couple of weeks of cash on their balance sheet. That's not, and even without this pandemic, aside. So we will see many aspects of this industry fold that were being done inefficiently or didn't have proper property management companies or brand licensing companies, inefficient like tax strategies, or just inefficient business practices. We've gone through probably 10 different operational companies over this last 2 weeks and just gone through their books. What are their subscriptions? What are their costs? What would need to be laid off? So many parts of this, Bob, you're right, of the new industry are not depression proof. What this will show us, though, is new ways that the industry will evolve to meet with these current market considerations of homebound people. And this is, even once like these orders are done, it's not just going to go back to business as usual. Like, there's a new normal that is being created daily. When you think about the fears or consumer spending habits or people just being comfortable to go to Vegas on vacation to smoke, and buy cannabis for the weekend, they might be scared to get on that flight. Those things are not going to change. So store to your door mentality, looking at companies, how Kova, for example, like has adapted with how you would pre-order, pick up what's in the menu board and displays in the dispensary, what you can see online, coordinating a delivery company to facilitate that purchase and transaction. Those sectors are going to emerge largely. But many of the inefficient parts of the industry that were barely hanging on, they're going to go away. And sadly, we can't just claim bankruptcy because in federal legality, we don't have that option as cannabis companies. So parts of it, you're right, Bob, parts of it will go away and are not depression-proof, but the consumer demand and core of what this industry is, this plant, that has withstood every test of time. We've sailed across oceans with it, and we fed our children with it, and it's going to evolve with this.
Well, Nick, you brought up one interesting point in there that I wanted to highlight, which is the how licensing regulations have adapted really quickly here in the last couple of weeks. For example, here in Denver, dispensaries are now temporarily allowed to sell recreational and medical cannabis online for pickup. And this has kind of made the case for marijuana delivery, which was slated to be come online here in Denver in later this year and then in 2021. And now there's kind of a push to expedite it. I wanted to bring up that 3C, your company, put out a webinar last week on kind of the impact of COVID-19 and what business owners should be thinking about, how this is going to kind of shake out in the months and potentially years to come. I'm wondering if you would give us some of the highlights from that. What are the immediate actions business owners should be thinking about?
And do this for any business owner, be it, hands-on, like cultivation, extraction, dispensaries, or ancillary businesses serving this. Cash is king in all of this. Where some of the SBA loans were not able to get those. So instantly looking at, like, what's your utilization? What's your cash flow, your staff, and your budget? One of the things we had advised with an HR company as well is coming up with a non-biased rating system for staff, for how long they've been there, their rate, their performance, to be able to really decide, like, what's going to be best for your people and what, like, to clear off your balance sheets. But understanding every dollar that you're spending with the company, do you need to? Do you need daily, you know, reporting from, like, your controller? Could you maybe go to weekly? Maybe some of your CRM protocols have gotten outlandish, or your old marketing techniques weren't working. Everything switched to digital. So any company there needs to look at that. The other big aspect that we've really been diligently working with clients on is understanding their supply chain. What is every aspect of their business that they need that they do not create themselves? And if they do create it, what people, systems, and processes are required for that? So the normal saying is inventory is a killer. If you buy too much of something, it can expire, it can go bad. If you only have one source of something, some specific nutrient or replacement light bulbs or certain sorts of air filters, water pumps, like if you don't have replacement parts and really understand every step of your process, where to get multiple vendors, some potential U.S. vendors, and have some of this additional inventory on stock, it could completely, like if you run out of cocoa or certain shipments take 2 or 4 weeks longer and you can't transplant another 4,000 plants, what's that going to do, you know, to your financials here in this next quarter? Packaging for dispensaries, labels. I already have had two clients that have had major problems with their label printers and the labels. So now they're at the point where they can't make a sale unless they have these specific labels, and they didn't really think about this early enough. So it's a sense of urgency. Any business, this is not just this little short-term thing, be it cannabis or not. Every business owner is facing major decisions based on the CARES Act, understanding who and how to lay off, what's needed in that process, and how to really take care of your people, because the people at the end of the day, they're who are running this operation. If they get sick, can't come in, you don't provide them personal protective equipment, it could change everything. So cultivators, how are you going to continue to grow these plants? What do you need to do that efficiently, and how to optimize, you know, your fertigation, your watering systems, your harvesting practices, instead of having 20 trimmers come, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday. Maybe finally starting to look into some like wet trimming and dry trimming machines and changing your methodologies. Extraction companies, you run out of, let's say, brownie mix, you're not going to be infusing many brownies. What is every piece of your supply chain? Where does it come from? Is it the best cost? What are your contingency plans for those? Do you have business interruption insurance? And specifically, instead of just having Cheeto crumbs and, you know, bathrobes and growing an apocalypse beard and watching Netflix, look at every aspect of your business. This is a gift this time that we get as an industry of almost everyone had to stop. Let's just take a look at what's working, what's not, what corporate change can we implement for training, for outsourced vendors, and anything that could impact our business, be it pandemic, a tornado, a regulatory shift, how to plan and prepare for that. And know that many of these new state markets we were planning on coming, governments are shut down and they have a lot on their plates right now. And yes, new tax revenue and jobs will be vital as we're coming out of this. But when you just saw like New York didn't even put in the budget for their adult use program, many of these places we were planning on expanding to might slow down. But also, just like Illinois did, you know, today, extended their application window for craft grow cultivators. You know, so now they, you know, anyone can resubmit their application or go until the end of the month. So some markets are still open. Everyone's slowed down, scared on spending more cash. So there are some new opportunities that people are kind of overlooking now based on this chaos as well.
Nick, you have such an interesting background, kind of a background in agriculture as well. I'm interested if, as you look at hemp and domestic hemp production in the U.S. this year, we saw last year a lot of farmers growing for CBD, and then when harvest came, there were not really forward contracts, and a lot of that plant material is likely still just sitting and waiting. As you look to this year, what do you anticipate hemp farmers will face? Where do you see the kind of choke points in the supply chain on the hemp side of things?
Yeah, the hard truth came to hemp where, you know, even through the Agricultural Improvement Act in Colorado, what we had done with hemp 2014 forward, amazing opportunities, biomass, fibers, protein sources, unique cannabinoids that you could grow outdoors very cheaply, very efficiently. Everyone kind of flooded that market, and now like quality, certain things are really in question on some of those products. So as we look at hemp in this year, my biggest fear that's going to happen is the real value from hemp, aside from like intellectual property, is methodologies and, you know, equipment and so forth. It's having massive capital infusions into the CapEx required for decording and for redding these more expensive, larger, kind of actually turning this raw plant material into value-added goods and services. So what I see is that there's going to be a slowdown of certain sorts of investment for the hemp sector. There's going to be more people producing it. And you can't just think as a hemp farmer, we're going to do this hardcore this first year, massive CBD sale, that'll fund our operation. That didn't work for 95% of people who tried. So this year, the right seeds and like joining the larger collective, like as farmers in certain states, some of the approaches that they had tried in Kentucky a little bit too, but to think of how to have massive and copious amounts of similar biomasses that are going to be going to more standardized production units for, you know, making like wood, like some companies are doing in North Carolina, making things that make tangible value, because the investment into those major kind of equipment, I don't see that that's going to be as liquid as we were originally anticipating this year. So understanding the business model and not just changing a letter in the cannabinoids, you're going to be like, we're going to do CBG instead. That one's going to be hot this year. And there's hundreds of cannabinoids. But understanding the business model and how are you going to create revenue with this biomass production is probably the biggest focus that many teams are not going to address this year.
Nick, I'm wondering, do you see kind of the impact of coronavirus opening the door for collaboration in the industry? What does that look like? Maybe it looks like consolidation, maybe it looks like mergers and acquisitions, but do you see kind of a new mentality going forward around working together, that we need to embrace this a rising tide lifts all ships mentality?
100% correct. I've already seen it. As long as the ego and fighting for this giant valuation of a company, if that doesn't exist, you're going to see a more rapid consolidation of sectors in the next quarter to two quarters than we've seen in the industry historically. But it won't be the big value additions of what normal companies were perceived to be getting for their valuations for that. There's many companies that do the same thing now. They all have had a downturn in certain customers. That's been meaning that they all have the same problems. Many of them have great key staff, great key components, but if they were combined, they would be a much stronger unit. So we'll see that in certain sides, and also, you know, exit potential. Like, going public is not necessarily the best option right now based on the current market. So what are those exit timelines and hold periods for private equity or for a private equity backer into a merger acquisition or some sort of consolidation? I would foresee and predict that there's going to be more consolidations where people are doing mutual value kind of joint ventures instead of trying to infuse major capital into it or to buy those out and kind of have those exits. But a good thing now, many people, they've been in the industry for a while, they've been making good revenue, markets have changed, Colorado's a great example. You know, is it the time to really consider, you know, should we have a conversation with LiveWell or Native Roots or some other group to maybe have your management services or something taken over a brand licensing deal? Because with so much volatility, you're going to see more people looking for the exit, some of them running for the exit. So you can almost find some better opportunities where your capital will go farther now. But massive consolidations, already seeing it with between ancillary packaging companies. You know, there's three of them concerning a pretty large kind of merger at this point. They all do something similar. They all have a few unique things, but instead of having three admin departments all going for the same consumer base, just get big, share it together, and take it. It's better to be a part of something big than small and struggling like everyone else.
You really hit the nail on the head, and I think you know, I think the message that really rings loud and clear in conjunction with the cash is king is to just really check up on your business vitals, that the fundamentals are now key. And Nick, we really appreciate you coming on, sharing all of your knowledge and wisdom with us. It's a pleasure to have you.
Absolutely. Any time to share and get this information out there. We've got interesting times ahead of us in industry. We've had to work together, you know, for well over a decade in this, and it's going to change, and there's going to be more desperation staying on top of it. And if you just sit back and react or like, I'll wait to see what's going to happen and then make a plan, you're dead already. I've already seen it happen, and you don't just get to roll over to bankruptcy. So really get creative and use this time like a gift. I remember Colorado Bob years ago, a mutual client, it was like, you have a problem, you throw money at it. Well, money is limited, prices have come down, competition has gone up. How do we strategically plan how to capitalize on this new time is really paramount for this age. So really appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. You stay safe and enjoy that, that I guess we'll call it downtime in Wisconsin.
Indeed, looking forward to being able to get back on the road. But from here, running remote international companies, I never thought I'd do it from wearing my dad's slippers where I grew up as a kid. But absolute pleasure to come back home and wish everybody just staying safe and good times, and then we'll get through this. And it's only going to make us stronger.
Yes, we will. You take care, Nick.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hoban Minutes special series on coronavirus and cannabis. You can head on over to Hoban.law for more information on this podcast or the Hoban Law Group. If you have any ideas for subjects that we should be covering or any questions you want to pose to Bob or myself, shoot us an email at media@hoban.law. And stay tuned for the next episode on this special series, Coronavirus and Cannabis.